My name's Carolyn Liu, for those of you who don't know me, and I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I love him so much. And yet, even as a believer, I struggle with using food to cope with my emotions. It appears some people would like you to sit with them over here. Oh, would like pens. Yes, pens. If you need a pen, raise your hand. Well, tonight, I'm glad to announce that we're going to be working on Principle 6. So we already read it earlier, but it is coming up. Next one. Evaluate all of my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. So that pretty much sums it up. I mean, we just like make a list of everyone that we've hurt. So you do that, and then you forgive them. And it's pretty straightforward. I can't think of how much to expand on that because it's very direct. It's just you make a list and just forgive them. And I think they want us to get out of here early. It's just simple. I mean, it's direct. There's no way around it. And I should probably just pack up now. You guys can read in between the lines. You guys know, though, that these simple words, and often isn't that true, that the simplest things, the things that are so easy to say, just forgive, you know, make a list and forgive, and you got it, is sometimes some of the hardest things to do. And forgiveness for me has been one of those key things in my life that has really opened the door for some real forgiveness. The forgiveness has resulted in some real healing, but it has also been a real key for some of you here tonight. And I asked just a few of your leaders to share a little bit about their experience. And one person I asked was Daniel. Do you mind standing up while I kind of interview you and speak in kind of a loud voice? So Daniel, who was the most difficult person for you to forgive? Your oldest
brother.
Okay. And why was that person hard for you to forgive?
I saw him beat my mom.
Okay, you saw him beat your mom. Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard was that for you?
11.
Okay. Daniel's a very precise person. I'm surprised you went outside the scale. But so very, very, very difficult. How much fruit has it, or healing, or blessing has it brought you as a result of doing that with something, a scale of 1 to 10, it was 11. How much blessing has it brought you?
Yeah.
A 10. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Daniel, for sharing. Bree is another person who volunteered, who said, oh, there she is. Bree, who was the hardest person you had to forgive when you worked through your 12 steps?
My ex-husband.
Your ex-husband. And why was he so hard for you to forgive?
He didn't deserve it.
Yeah, that makes it really hard when the person doesn't deserve it. On a scale of 1 to 10, for you, Bree, how hard was it, ex-husband?
I think an 8 or 9. There were some individual events that weren't much easier, say like a 4. And then other very stupid ones that were like 11 or 12. And so it kind of averaged out to about an 8 or 9.
Thanks. How much blessing in your life or fruit have you seen as a result? What number? 100? Thank you. Thanks, Bree. I meant to mention, and I didn't, that these are some key people that are your leaders, that as you walk through this journey, you are not walking it alone, and you have some people like Daniel and Bree who are on this journey. Daniel is our tea coach, and Bree is an apprentice. Both of them are very involved here in Celebrate Recovery. And Chuck was also willing to stand up. Chuck is... does a ton for Wednesday nights. He helps get everything organized so our kitchen runs. So Chuck, who was the hardest person for you to forgive?
It was me.
Yourself?
Myself, yeah. people in the ones that I thought was nice. So it took me a lot. It was easy to forgive somebody who had hurt me and make amends for that and accept their forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But it was very difficult for me to really look inside of me and accept their forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt so much guilt.
So in case you didn't hear, if you're way back in the corner, he's saying the hardest person to forgive was himself and to accept God's forgiveness of him. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hard was it to forgive yourself?
It was a good 8.
Okay, solid 8.
Solid.
Okay.
It actually took 3/4 of my first step study before I started to feel his love.
Okay, took 3/4 of his first step study before he began to feel his love. And then how much blessing, how much fruit in your life as a result of going through with that? Okay, so 360 degree change, can't even measure it. It's kind of short summary. Yeah, thank you, Chuck, for that too. Okay, now we can really go home because I don't have too much to add to that. And that is a key to your recovery, is looking to the people around you. When you get stuck in your journey, to say, how can I walk through this? How can I forgive this person? Know that there are people along the road with you that have done that work, and they can be a guide to you and a help to you. Tonight's lesson is based on step 8. We made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them. And also on step 9, we made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So the first blank on your sheet is, have you accepted God's forgiveness? Now for some of you, that is very clear what that means. And you can just say right off, yes, I have. For some of you, that may be a superficial answer, but maybe unpacking it a little will help it make sense. But what does that really mean? If we were to compare for a second Christianity, and I'm going to say the word pure Christianity, meaning a Christianity that's based on a relationship with Jesus and is based on the Bible, that's how I'm defining that. And we're going to put all the other world religions over here, and in this basket we're also going to put non-religions, like being an atheist or not being sure, being agnostic. And we'll put distorted forms of Christianity in here, other forms that have kind of gone astray from the original truth. So everything else here, Christianity over here. Each of these have to answer the question, what in the heck is wrong in our world? Why is there so much bad and evil? And Christianity answers that question, and it says the reason that there's evil in the world is because evil exists, and because of Satan and sin, and that's why things are wrong in this world. And each one of these worldviews or religious beliefs would have a different answer to that question, but everybody has to answer that question because it's apparent there is something wrong with our world. Something is going awry, and it's not getting better. The more we educate people, the more we advance technologically, things are not getting better. So we have to answer that question. This population, tons of different answers, but you could think if you're an atheist, perhaps what's wrong with this world is our genetics. They've gone awry, they're mutating, and it's because of our genetic pool that we're having the problem. So everybody has a different answer here. They each also have to answer the question, what's the solution? And each one of these comes up with a solution, each one of these religions or worldviews, and Christianity has a solution. And Christianity says the solution is Jesus Christ. And pretty much every other worldview or religion says, work for it. There's different varieties of that, but it says you got to be good enough. You got to earn your way there. A lot of religions are based on doing a certain number of good things. Maybe you need to go to church or whatever the religious ceremony is. Maybe you need to flog yourself. Maybe you need to do certain acts of service. But all the others have a way that you earn your way there. And so what we are saying to you tonight is that on your path to sobriety, from whatever the issue you're working on, a number one key will be accepting that the way to experience God's power in your life is accepting Jesus Christ as the answer, as the source of that power. And the question you have to ask all of these others who choose something else, because you might say, well, who's right? Are they right or are we right? Who has the right answer? Is how good is good enough? Like if you were to go on the street today and ask the question, do you think that you're going to go to heaven? Most people in our society today would answer something along this lines, unless we got like an oddball here or there. But most people would say, if there is a heaven, I think that I'm going, and they would list why. Well, I've been better than this person. I've tried to do right. I haven't murdered anybody. I try to make things right when I do something wrong. But if you were to ask those same people, well, are you perfect? Most people would say no. Most people don't think that they're perfect. Well, God gave us the standard for how good is good enough. And he gave it to us in a simple form, only 10 simple things. And you guys all know what these are. They're the 10 commandments. So we're going to do a little experiment tonight, and I'm going to have each one of you stand on your feet. Everybody on your feet. It's good for the circulation. You've been sitting for about 5 minutes now. So the first one is this kind of a little exercise to see if we're good enough. The first one says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now go ahead and take a seat if at any time you ever made anything more important than God in your life. Has there ever been a time you chose something else? Gosh, you guys are just a bunch of sinners. So if you wanted to know what the definition of sinner is, we all know immediately there was only 10 things we had to do to be good enough. And all of us failed immediately at the first one. And if for some reason that one didn't get us, I'm sure if we went down the list of the other 10, the rest of us would be seated. And so God's answer for that is Jesus Christ. And by accepting God's forgiveness and accepting Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, he took our place so we didn't have to be good enough. None of us can meet up even to a 10-item list, much less all the other things that we would have to do to meet up to God's standard of righteousness. And so Christianity is really the only one that lets you have an out. It says if we bring our resume to God and our resume isn't good enough, it's not going to get us the job. But God says, you know what? You can give Christ's resume in place of yours. And so he takes Christ's resume in place of ours. Many of you here have made that choice. You've made that choice to accept Jesus into your life. But some of you here tonight may not have made that choice to really allow him into your heart and accept his forgiveness. One, for two reasons. One, because it's a powerful step in your recovery. And two, because it is the power behind your recovery. So pray with me tonight. I'm going to ask all of you to close your eyes. But if you have not prayed this prayer and you feel God saying, yeah, I need to accept your forgiveness. I want you to accept my forgiveness. Go ahead and pray after me. I'm going to say the sentence and then you just repeat after me. God, I admit that I have not included you in my life. I also admit that I can't be good enough to earn the right to interact with you or go to heaven when I die. I accept the forgiveness that you offer me through Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. And that is how I can be your friend and live with you forever. Amen. Man, your leaders would love to know in small group tonight if that was a decision that you made. We would love to welcome you into the family of God, or if you have questions about that decision, we'd love to talk more with you. The second thing we have to do, and this is another difficult one, none of these three things are easy, is we must forgive others who hurt us. Now, before we ask somebody to do something, sometimes it's helpful to define or explain what forgiveness is not. So we're going to go through a list. You may want to use the back of your sheet if some of these are new for you or you haven't thought through them to write out what is forgiveness not. So forgiveness is not saying that what happened was okay. Sometimes we get confused on that point. We think, well, I was abused by this person and that was wrong. And you are right. That was wrong. And by forgiving them, you are not saying, no, that wasn't a big deal. Sometimes we think that's forgiveness. When we say, no, man, don't worry about it. You know, I know you haven't paid me back my $5. No big deal. You know, just let it go. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay. The second thing is forgiveness is not given because the offender deserves forgiveness. It's not because the offender deserves forgiveness. That person may not deserve forgiveness. They may still be as evil or mean or hell-bent on destruction, cruel. They may not deserve your forgiveness. And Bree mentioned that. Her ex-husband did not deserve forgiveness in some areas, and it was hard. The third thing is, forgiveness is not saying that you have to like that person. It's not saying that you have to reconcile with that person or make friends with that person. Why is that the case? As Christians, aren't we supposed to reconcile with each other? Yes, we're supposed to reconcile with each other. We're supposed to move in love towards each other. But you don't have control over that person you're forgiving. And while reconciliation can definitely come out of forgiveness, it isn't necessarily guaranteed. So the goal of forgiveness isn't necessarily, first and foremost, reconciliation. That can be a beautiful byproduct if both people are willing to come to terms together on the issue. But you cannot guarantee that the other person in the equation, and I say person, I also mean organization, company, government, that you need to forgive is necessarily ever going to see eye to eye and be willing to restore the relationship. Forgiveness is not saying that the person should not have to experience the consequences of their action. You know that consequences sometimes are the best things for people. Consequences can be good for that other person, and they may have to experience the consequence of their action in order to turn to God, see growth in their life. And by forgiving them, it's not saying, hey, I'm going to take away the consequence of that. There may be a natural or legal consequence that is still in place. And then lastly, this is just kind of important to know, forgiveness is not a way to remove all of the pain of sin that has been done to you. When painful things happen, that pain lingers for a long time. And a lot of us, through forgiveness, have seen some of that pain dissipate. And we see a lightness in our life. We see an openness in our life that we haven't had before. But it doesn't guarantee, just by giving the act of forgiveness, that all of a sudden, none of the things that bothered you before, any of the hurts from your childhood or from a broken marriage or a broken relationship or damage that has happened around you are necessarily going to go away. Sometimes it does, but it's not a guarantee. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is release. It's saying, I release my right to judge you. It says, I release you from the emotional debt that you owe to me. It's kind of like we're all on a sinking ship. You know, this world is going to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. And the ship is breaking apart. And as we fall into the water, we have this anchor that we cling to. But we have to let go of that anchor. That anchor is unforgiveness in order to reach on to the life buoy. And until we release that, sometimes we aren't free to really grab on or even to grab on to our recovery. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but one of the best passages in the Bible that you can read, if you are reading your Bible, you have a Celebrate Recovery Bible, we sell them at the back table, Matthew 18, 21 to 35. That would be a great thing to study on this week. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. But I want to share a particular verse that has been incredibly impactful in my life and my journey, Isaiah 61:1. It's a little bit hard to understand, so I'm just going to kind of read each sentence and then give you a little paraphrase. don't like quote this in scripture or something. This is the rough translation. So this, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." So he's basically saying, God's Spirit's with me, for God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. So he's saying, God's Spirit's on me because he's given me a task, and that task is to bring good news to the poor, and he may be meaning emotionally poor, like we say as we say our Beatitudes in the beginning. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. So this is my job, my task. Jesus is saying, what I'm coming here to do is to help people with broken hearts and to proclaim, and my job is also to do two other things, that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Well, at first brush at this verse, you're like, great, he's coming to release people from their emotional stuff. Oh, it's such so hope. Filled and healing for me because I have emotional stuff I want to be broken free from. How fabulous is that? But then as you look at it, you go, why does he repeat himself at the end of this verse? I mean, he said, captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Why does he say that twice? Is it just a way to be poetic, or is it fancy speak? Is it Bible speak and I just don't get it? It was in a different language? Could be. But in every translation, you'll see this same dynamic. He specifically references captives, and he specifically references prisoners. What is the difference between a captive and a prisoner? They're both in jail. What's the difference? A captive is usually somebody who is following orders, and they're taken captive. Something happens to them, and they are put behind bars. They're imprisoned in some way. A prisoner, what's the difference? Prisoner did something wrong. So in most cases, I realize there are exceptions, but in most cases, people are behind bars in a prison situation because they violated some law. They got there on their own accord. The difference for us is that forgiveness, things have happened to us, and that makes us captives. We've been wounded. If you grew up and you experienced abuse in your household, if you've been betrayed or abandoned, that was wounding that happened to you. You got into a prison by no account of your own, an emotional prison. But when you make the choice to not forgive, you are a prisoner. You made a choice to be bound. And so that is the difference here. And that has been incredibly freeing to me to realize, man, Carolyn, you want to get over some stuff in your life? Start forgiving. You want to get power in your recovery? Start forgiving. You know, there's lots of symptoms of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness can look like unexplained physical problems. It can look like inability to have victory in your problem area. It can look like not being able to let something go. You just have this burning issue, and no matter what, it could be in politics, it could be at work, it could be in your church setting. It can be that inability to let something go. It could be just a heaviness, not being able to think of the person that offended you without having a deep depression or heaviness come over you. It's also important to know that forgiveness looks different at different places in your recovery. How many of you have done more than one step study since you've been with Celebrate Recovery? Okay. Would you say forgiveness looks different the first time through than it does the second time through your step study? Yeah. But is there still stuff to forgive the second time through? Did you get it all out the first time, or did you find new stuff? New stuff. Yeah, there's always new stuff. And the reason is that God continues to address things at deeper and deeper levels in our heart. When we first go through a step study, maybe we go, man, I was abused by my dad growing up. And so you say, God, you know, Dad, I forgive you for your abuse. But the second time through the step study, I realize all my life I've struggled with low self-esteem. And it was because of that abuse. So now I'm forgiving Dad. I forgive you for giving me the message that I was not valuable. And maybe the third time through your step study, you realize I've had 3 broken relationships, and all of those are tied back to trust issues that happened for me in childhood. And so we're going back again and we're saying, Dad, I forgive you for giving me the message that I could not trust other people in relationships. So there's different layers. And we don't need to punish ourselves if it's expected that you're not going to be able to forgive every area that someone or an organization has wronged you for all at one time. God gives it to us in bite-sized chunks, and that's the way we do our recovery, as it comes to us. Have you thought, as I've been talking, of a specific person in mind? If not, think of somebody right now, or an organization, or the government, or an employer, employee, that God is putting on your heart as we're speaking, and go ahead and write their name in code or otherwise on your paper. Who is somebody that he's saying tonight on your heart you need to forgive? And then lastly tonight, it's important to forgive yourself. Just as Chuck mentioned, it was beautiful. I got some great examples there, and they were under no mandate from me to say specific things. And yet we got examples of quite a few different things that we need to forgive. Forgiving ourselves is one of the hardest things. I had a friendship that was a Jonathan and David friendship growing up. A gal that shared our passion for Jesus. We shared many experiences together. And at a certain point, very healthy move for her probably, she ended our friendship. And she said, you know, you're not a healthy person and I don't want to be a friend with you. And that was really hard and because I loved her. But 8 years later, I realized I'd never forgiven myself. I spent 8 years berating myself for all the mistakes I made in that friendship and all the reasons that she turned her back on me, which over time I realized were probably pretty good reasons. But yet it took me 8 years to realize, Carolyn, you got to forgive yourself. You've got to let yourself out of that prison as well. I love the verse that's printed in your outline there, the Isaiah 1:18-19. Come, let us talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. If only you would let me help you. What is it tonight that you have not forgiven yourself for? Take a minute and jot that down. What is it tonight that you need to forgive yourself for? A past mistake? A relationship you screwed up? Going back to your addiction? Lying to someone? As I close tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to forgive others and yourself. I'll give you a chance to fill in the blank. So as I pray, you can just remain silent and fill in the blank if God has brought something to you that you need to forgive in somebody else or in yourself. Dear God, I choose to forgive this person for this specific thing that was done to me. I cancel the debt this person owes me, and I release them from my judgment. Father, will you bless them? And God, I choose to forgive myself for I accept that you've canceled my debt. I release myself from my own judgments. I accept your blessing, Heavenly Father. Dear God, I pray your blessing over every person who is here tonight. Lord, would you help us to no longer be captives or prisoners? We want to find our way out. We want to open the doors to those prisons that we've put ourselves in or that we've been put in. And Lord, if there's a person here tonight who would like to experience a relationship with you or experience a deepened walk with you through forgiveness, Lord, that they would open their hearts to that work that you want to do in their lives, Lord. We We submit ourselves to you, Heavenly Father. We lean on you to guide us in this journey of recovery that we recognize we cannot do alone. In Jesus' name, amen.